Hallelujah. I'd like to go to Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Luke 14, 25. It says, there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said to them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross cannot come after me, cannot be my disciple. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he has laid the foundation, he's not able to finish all that and they began to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and considers whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that comes with 20,000? Or else, while the others are great way off, he sends an ambassador and desires peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. And the principle that Jesus addresses here is there is a cost to following him, or a cost to discipleship. And we actually recognize that there is a cost to everything in life. There's a price to everything. So he says here, if you come to him and you're going to follow him, you want to be his disciple. And the way it reads in the Old English, hate not his father, mother, brother, sister, and even your own life. You cannot, in an absolute sense, cannot be my disciple or follow him through to the end. Now, this is not a good translation, because the way we view the word hate, a very strong word where you desire to see the destruction of someone or something. And actually in the Greek, it's to love less. Or I have a friend who's Greek, who has a Greek Koine Greek New Testament. And I was talking with him recently, and he said, in the Greek, according to his knowledge of it, it means to love half as much. As first I had heard that. I had heard, in certain people that define these kind of things, to love less. Or he said, love half as much. Or in other words, you have to love Jesus more, or the principle is you will serve that which you love the most. You will give yourself to that which you ascribe the highest value. And the concept of value, we're going to bring into this, that we place a value on everything in life, and then we will either pay or give our attention to something according to the value that we believe that it has. And there's many a times, I've heard my wife say, well, I wouldn't pay that much for this. Or when she goes shopping, being a good York County born and bred girl, she has to find it on sale. Y'all understand what I just said? There's a certain mindset, people that from this area, you are very thrifty. That's a nice way of saying it. Cheap's another way. But, we're very conscious of what we do with our finance. Now, it can be good or it could be bad. But you fix a value in your mind on everything. And just recently, you heard her saying, well, I saw this sweater, but I'm not paying this much. I'll go back and see if it goes on sale. Of course, you know, like around Christmas and all that, you got to move merchandise. They start putting stuff on sale if you can find a store that's open that has anything. We still shop at Boscov's. That's still open. But you try to find that good deal. And then you're all happy because you got a good deal for your investment. Well, in life, we learn that everything we're doing in life, to get anything out, you're going to have to put something in, or you're going to have to pay a price for everything. So he's saying here, if you don't put a value on the relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're not going to make that a priority. You see, you do prioritize things according to value. Whether you realize it or not, you do that. And there are some things we'll say, well, I'll get to that later. That's not as important as this right now. There might be certain things in your house need fixed or repaired, and you have a certain value on it. Now, if your AC unit's broke, right now you wouldn't really care that much. You don't have a value on cold air right now. There's plenty of it around. But come July, or say June, May, when it starts to get hot, and you go to flick that AC on, it's like, oh man, that's broke. I didn't get that fixed yet. We put that off because we were paying other bills. It becomes a priority. You're going to value that cool air come July where you don't value it in January. So, you know, some things at certain times have more value to you. If you're really, 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 really hungry, you might pay more for food. Or you would do more for something, for a glass of water, because you're really, really, really thirsty. So our values can change based on our need. And it also, there's a value we disascribe to things for what we think it's able to produce. And Jesus is saying, if you don't love him more or have a higher value on him, the things that do that you do place higher value, is that's going to pull you away from him. And you will not with any consistency follow after him. Now, we need to understand that consistency is important for partaking of the things of the Spirit. It's a walk with him. It's not just knowing about him, but walking with him, obeying him by faith, walking in his ways, and we continue to partake of those things. Now, you may have a job you go to, and you do a certain amount of work, and you get paid a certain amount of money. There might be something you don't like about the work or the people there. And if the pay is such, the pay can be enough that you say, well, I'll put up with this because of the value of the paycheck I'm getting. But if you're getting paid peanut shells, I mean, you're not even getting peanuts, just the shells in your mind for this work, and you don't even really like it, you're going to say, I'm not going to be there every day. I'm looking for something else. So I could go on and on to illustrate this. You do affix a value on everything, and to the degree of value, that will command priority in your life and commitment in your life. If we value the relationship with the Lord, we'll pursue him. If we value eternal life and we understand that's only going to come through Jesus, it's only going to come through that relationship, then we will let nothing get in between there. We will pursue after him no matter what. So he proceeds here and says, whoever doesn't bear his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now that cross is speaking to the death of your own desire. Now that was a way that the Romans would murder people. It would be viewed like a punishing death. And if you held to certain things you're going to do, and it was against their law or against whatever, you know, they're going to deal with you accordingly, you could be put to death in that way. And Jesus is saying we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Or the cross is we lay aside our desires, our wants, our needs, and all of that, and we're looking that I first live to please him, and to please the Lord's going to cost me what I might want to do, my pleasures, my desires. If you're going to put your desires and pleasures first, ultimately what you would want is going to be contrary to what it's going to take to partake the life of God. So Jesus illustrates, and he says, well, if you're building a tower, you have to count the cost. What's it going to cost you to have peace? Sometimes people want to hang on to strife, and division, and things because they don't want to let things go, but it's going to cost you. Now, for me, peace is very, very, very valuable. So therefore, I have to forgive. For me, it's not even an option not to forgive, because peace is valuable. Unforgiveness is going to cost me peace. It's going to cost me joy. And in my mind, well, I can't live without peace and joy. Jesus provided that for me in his death and resurrection. It is a precious, precious thing. So therefore, you let go of the things that would rob you of peace, lay hold of life. So with everything, again, there is a cost to it. And he talks about whether you're trying to build something or going to war, you must count the cost. Now, salvation is free in that we don't, by our own works, earn it. It's by grace, God's favor to you, and faith in what he did to provide it. But to partake of what was provided, it's going to cost you. It is going to cost you to actually partake of the peace and the joy. And sometimes people think, well, it's free, you know, and like God just owes it to you and just dump it on you. No, he already did all that it would take to provide it, but to walk in the light of it or to experience it, there's going to be a cost for you with that. Now, in Matthew 16, after the disciples knew who Jesus was, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, it was then Jesus began to speak to them that he has to die and be raised again. Peter was rather offended. Well, Lord, you can't die. And Jesus rebuked Peter, said, you don't savor the things of God, but the things of men. And then Jesus follows up, and I'm quoting here from Matthew 16, and I'm verse 24 now, except you deny yourself, take up your cross, you can't follow me, you can't be my disciple. So there's a denial of what you want, the pursuit of that. Now, it's not denial for the sake of denial. We understand that if my pleasures or my thoughts are dominating and those things of this world are my source, I'll serve that, and that will keep me away from really walking with the Lord. The word commitment comes into play. You commit yourself because you know something's important and has value. When people say, oh, commitment, that's being religious. That shows me you're an ignorant person of the kingdom of God. Because it's in the consistency of your walk that you continue to partake of life. Thus, we make a commitment to what has value. When you say you're working Monday through Friday job, and you wake up tomorrow morning and your flesh feels like going back to sleep. But there's a commitment to go to work because come Friday, you want that paycheck. And in working that job, you're giving in exchange your soul, your time, and your talent for money. There is the process of exchange. And the money you would get, of course, we use currency of dollar bills, that you're able, that has value affixed, less this year than last year. A little current events jab there, inflation. But there's an affixed value, and you can exchange that for material goods. So whether you go to the grocery store and you're paying X amount for your groceries or to buy clothing or your gas bill, whatever it might be, we have to have the power for exchange or have that currency there. You take your time and your talent, that's your currency, you. Your time, your talent, and your heart, and you exchange that for the money to then exchange that for food, clothing, etc., to pay your house and everything else. Well, in the realm of the spirit, there are the things that we desire. Love, joy, peace. Everyone was created to want those things because we were created in the image of God. You were made for that. You were made to be a joyful person. You were made to show forth love. You were created to carry peace. We yearn for that. Sin separated us from God. Jesus took care of the sin problem and gave us the gift of righteousness, the new covenant, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And by the Holy Spirit, the kingdom's opened up to us and available. The love, joy, peace is available to us. We can access that. But there is still a price to pay to partake of it. And that price is not money. Beatles had it right. Can't buy me love. Money can't buy me love. That's the only part of the song I remember. It's probably good. The rest of it's probably ungodly. But that was truth. You can't buy love, nor can you buy joy, nor can you buy peace. You do need money in this earth to buy food and clothing and such like, or whatever your currency is, gold, silver, you know, whatever. And we, again, exchange our heart, our time, our talent for money. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, the law of exchange is still at work. And there in Matthew, he says, for what will you give in exchange your soul? And we are commanded as the first and great commandment, love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. You know, we all have a heart. Now, at Christmas, Don and I sat and watched the movie Scrooge for the first time. It's made in 1935. I highly recommend that movie, the original. Black and white, you know, not very good acting and all the rest, but Scrooge didn't have any heart to help anybody. He trusted in money. His love was for money. His whole life was about money. And then he had an epiphany and had, visions or angels, whatever, come to him and showed him the condition of his heart. And the thing that was cool, at one point he says, I now see what I didn't see. Isn't that how it works? I now see what I didn't see, which is a revelation of love. Of course, that's the Christmas story. I now see what I did. And then he spent the rest of his life giving it all away. Praise the Lord. Well, we don't want to be old Scrooge. The hard heart. You know, and in the story, his niece or somebody had a boy that was crippled, needed an operation, and he wouldn't give the money to help. But then he pays for Timmy, I think the boy's name, and he gets the operation and lives, and people are starving, and he's giving out his food. You know, he got a heart. Well, we don't want to be old Scrooge, but really you're not. You do have a heart. You do have a soul. And you exchange the heart for things in life. You'll give your heart to something. Now, we are going to give of ourselves where we affix value. And you could have someone value the arts, let's say music, and they practice for hours and hours. They give their heart to that because they have a value on the ministry of music, on what that produces, say peace and joy or what have you. So they'll give themselves to that. They have an inherent sense of value on it. And maybe the next person has no interest. So we begin to put value on things. Young in life, we learn to fix value. You do learn the value system of your parents, but then you'll begin to form your own. You might say, why did Dad always spend all this time raising hunting dogs? Well, he liked to hunt. He liked to hunt rabbits. Why he had beagles? I grew up around beagles. It's my dad and his brother, and you know, they loved to hunt rabbits. So they had beagles. Beagles stink, to be honest with you. I mean, they're a dog with an odor. They're not a house dog. I'll take my German shepherds. You place a value on things. And we have to be careful not to be critical of people who simply have some different values than you do. You know, maybe someone, they have a different value on an automobile. For me, it's more, does it get me where I want to go? That's what I'm mainly concerned about. But if someone, you know, likes to feel the power of that V8 engine, well, that's their business. Well, they can pay more money for that. Whatever it is, everything in life, you affix a value, and that will really order priorities and command the giving of your life. So the question for us is, what do I value? And then for what will I give and exchange my soul? And you know, you have your time. We all have in a day the same amount of time. And you say, well, I don't have time for this. You have time for what you say is valuable to you. Don't say you don't have it. For some, maybe watching TV all day has a higher value and they don't communicate with their spouse because that's more important. And they have to change their sense of value and value the relationship more. Well, God wants us to walk with Him. He made it possible if we have a value on eternal life more than anything else, we'll give ourselves. The value that you do put on the Lord. Now, we can tell ourselves whatever. Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. Anybody can say that. But where you're giving of yourself, your heart, your time, your soul, even your money, that shows the true value system that you have in truth. And you'll tend to fix on money and pleasure, but we have to realize there's something greater than all of that. And that's the things of the Spirit. the love, joy, and peace. Because you can have all the other stuff and not have that, and your life is then empty. So the cost of discipleship, is your life, is your heart. If something doesn't cost you anything, you won't treat it the same. When I go to India and if there's evangelism in a village, those people in those villages, they understand if I accept Jesus Christ, it's likely I'll be kicked out of my family. They'll have nothing to do with me. I'll lose all family for the sake of knowing eternal life. And especially then if they're water baptized, it's a public event and everyone sees, it's like you're marked. They'll lose everything. So they must cling to the church because that's the only relationships they have left. Now, not all families do that, but many, many do in that culture. It's going to cost them something. So, you know, the idea of Christianity is free, whatever. If you don't see that it cost the life of the Son of God, it cost the blood of Jesus Christ to purchase that redemption we enjoy. If we don't see that the value that the Father put on the life of His Son, there is nothing more precious to Him. That's why it says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. The precious life of the Son of God was given to make this possible for us. You know, to the degree we see that, we see there's nothing more precious than eternal life. So then when, you know, when our body wears out, we leave this earth. Our eternity is sealed, a destiny in heaven. We are confident with that. So we live our life for that, for heaven. We live our life to please the Heavenly Father. We live our life to be partakers of that love and that peace and that joy. Hallelujah. So we pay the price. We deny ourselves. And walk with Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A great salvation's been provided for us. We give and exchange our soul. So as we worship Him, we are blessing Him back that blesses Him. We give and exchange our soul. We love Him with all of our heart. All of our heart. Not half the heart. Love everything else with half the heart. Love Him with all of the heart. And that's the very basis of our worship for God. And what would compel us to come week in, week out, and to daily abide in His Word and give thanks to God and worship Him. He's worthy of all of our heart, all of our love, all of our life. You ready to give it to Him? Have the divine exchange. Lord, I'll give you my heart today. And we can have expectation for the presence of God and the manifest work of the Holy Spirit in us. We give all to Him. He gives all to us. It's a 100-100 proposition, not a 50-50. We give all to Him. He has already given all to us. We give all back to Him. He gives all to us. And there's a reciprocation of that. And that's the secret really of walking in this life in the Spirit. All for Him. And all of Him is being released to us. So let's stand and give the one who's worthy all the praise today. Hallelujah.